We'll put that link at stageandstudio.org or kbu.fm/stageandstudio. And like us on facebook.com/stageletterandstudio and tweet me at stageletterandstudio. Till next time, I'm Dimae Roberts. We're going out with more music from Portland composer and musician David Ornette Cherry at davidornettecherry.com.
This is KBOO Portland.
Andy Warhol looks a scream. Have him on my wall. Andy Warhol, silver screen. Can't tell them apart at all.
My name's Joseph Gallivan. You're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week is Emma Berger. She's an illustrator and mural artist. She is here at the George Floyd mural at the Apple Store at 4th and Yamhill. Thanks for doing KBOO, Emma.
Hey, happy to be here. Oh, thank you.
This mural appeared after the Apple Store had its windows smashed in on Friday 29th, and then the boards went up on Sunday the 31st and were painted black. And then just tell us, when did you come along and start painting George Floyd's face?
So I took a walk Monday midday, and I just was taking a stroll around downtown just to see all the wreckage and to see all of the boards that had been put up. And I walked by the Apple Store and it was just all painted black, and it kind of, to me, just looked like a giant canvas waiting to be painted on. I called up, I'd been talking with my best friend, who is actually out in Ohio, who is she's black, and she's been in all of the protests and doing her part, and I've been kind of feeling that anxiety that I think we've all been feeling in all of this. And I was like, I want to just go paint them. And she's like, so go do it. And I was like, oh, okay. And I was like, so I ran home, and I kind of sat on the couch for probably a total of 3.5 minutes, and then I just got up and shoved a bunch of paints in a box and just came. And I had no idea if I would be chased off, if I would be stopped, if I had all those scenarios kind of running through my head, and so I didn't bring anything with me that I would need to bring back with me in case I had to run away. I just parked, and I carried my little box of paints up and just started painting.
Did you have a source photo?
I looked up a photo on my phone. It's the main photo that has been circulating. I'm actually traditionally not very good at portraits, and this is saying that from just all of the artists I know who do portraits and do them for a living. I'm mediocre at best, and so I was
My name's Joseph Gallivan. You're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week is Emma Berger. She's an illustrator and mural artist. She is here at the George Floyd mural at the Apple Store at 4th and Yamhill. Thanks for doing KBOO, Emma.
Hey, happy to be here. Oh, thank you.
This mural appeared after the Apple Store had its windows smashed in on Friday 29th, and then the boards went up on Sunday the 31st and were painted black. And then just tell us, when did you come along and start painting George Floyd's face?
So I took a walk Monday midday, and I just was taking a stroll around downtown just to see all the wreckage and to see all of the boards that had been put up. And I walked by the Apple Store, and it was just all painted black. And it kind of, to me, just looked like a giant canvas waiting to be painted on. I called up. I'd been talking with my best friend, who is actually out in Ohio, who is, she's black, and she's been in all of the protests and doing her part, and I've been kind of feeling that anxiety that I think we've all been feeling in all of this. And I was like, I want to just go paint them. And she's like, so go do it. And I was like, oh, okay. And I was like, so I ran home, and I kind of sat on the couch for probably a total of 3.5 minutes. And then I just got up and shoved a bunch of paints in a box and just came. And I had no idea if I would be chased off, if I would be stopped, if I had all those scenarios kind of running through my head. And so I didn't bring anything with me that I would need to bring back with me in case I had to run away. I just parked, and I carried my little box of paints up and just started painting.
Did you have a source photo?
I looked up a photo on my phone. It's the main photo that has been circulating. I'm actually traditionally not very good at portraits, and this is saying that from just all of the artists I know who do portraits and do them for a living. I'm mediocre at best, and so I was just trying my darndest to get him up there, and I just started getting positive reactions from all of the people who happened to be walking by, and people were honking their horns at me, and it kind of just gave me that little bit of motivation. But one of the first things that happened when I started painting, I always start with the ear, if I can, or the side of the eye, and I immediately realized that I had painted him far too big for my little self to paint. It's probably at least 8 feet tall, and I am 5'5". So I started painting, realizing that I was nowhere near tall enough to complete it. And I stood on my little box from paints, and I ended up going to the 7-Eleven around the block and convincing them to give me a couple milk crates, which I stood on. And at one point, I even got on someone's shoulders to get the very top of it. But yeah, and that's kind of how it started.
So you started with a picture of George Floyd, and then at what point did you add the words, "I can't breathe"?
So I paint very quickly. So I actually, it only took me 2 hours to paint his whole face. I just kept feeling more and more motivated by the positive reactions that I was getting from people and the fact that it really hadn't, you know, only 2 hours had passed. So I just started painting the words out because I figured just his face, you know, might not go that far. And then I ended up painting in his name as well. And that was how I left it Monday, with just his face and the words.
How did you deal with, like, getting the letters straight? Because they do kind of drift down a bit. They kind of follow the seam of the plywood at the top, right? The top of the letters have a kind of guide. Then the bottom kind of go down. I should point out the store is on a grade, so the stairs, there's more stairs at the east end. You know, it's a strange kind of angle to the whole thing.
That would be entirely unintentional. I have no ability to level things. I need a level whenever I'm hanging my own artwork or whenever I'm doing anything involving making anything straight. I think one of my eyes must be higher than the other one. I'm convinced at this point because I can never tell if things are straight or not. But I definitely was using the top of the plywood as a marker to make them as straight as possible. But yeah, they definitely do drift down a bit. But I think also for the message, it doesn't hurt it.
So I should point out, you have a fine art training at the Pratt Institute in New York. And you kind of chose illustration. Just talk a little bit about, you know, the way you combine words and imagery here.
Illustration is the art of telling a story and a narrative through visuals. And usually the combo of that is also through words and illustrated typography. I made sure for this mural that the cant was a different color, to outline everything in red and to actually make the paint fade more and more as it gets to the end of the sentence, just to kind of make that feeling a little bit more. But yeah, I'm an illustrator, and you learn all sorts of kind of tips and tricks like that. It's part of the trade, and it definitely, I think, helps, because illustration is all about sending a message and all about giving that message to people and having that relay really quickly. And so I think that definitely helped me here.
So this is a kind of live painting, right? Because people coming up to you and talking to you and contributing. But you did the face in a couple of hours and the words. Then just tell us how it progressed, because then you added two more big faces. I should point out, right now, everyone has joined in now. It started out as kind of your thing, and then it just, everyone is putting flowers and candles and signs and all sorts of things. So tell us about adding the second wave of faces.
I painted the first bit, and then I happened to be in the protest later that night, and we actually walked right by it, which I wasn't thinking was going to happen. And I realized there's a bunch of graffiti artists had come by and were tagging it in different areas. And I decided, I don't believe in painting over anyone's graffiti because it gives them the right to paint over yours. So I decided I would come back and put a couple more faces on the wall before the graffiti covered that part too. So then Tuesday morning I woke up and prepped my kit, and this time I still did not bring a tall enough ladder, but that's my own fault, and came down and painted Breonna Taylor and Ahmaud Arbery and the words "Say Their Name" and "Black Lives Matter," and kind of filled in that area. Yet again, the responses were very positive. People were happy to see faces on the wall. And then that's kind of what prompted the idea that I wanted to start involving other people and get the community to start adding their contributions, because people, they want something to do, and everyone's been dealing with that anxiety and that tension of what's been going on, and people are feeling quite helpless. And so on Wednesday I spent the day organizing a volunteer group, and on Thursday a little bit before noon people started showing up, and we taped off an entire design for the background, kind of similar to those designs that kids have been painting, that been chalking on the sidewalks. I think we had anywhere between like 30 and 60 people paint on the wall. I wasn't really keeping track. We had like a COVID-safe way of distributing paint, so people didn't touch it, and you had to keep your brush once you had it. People came off the street. People just started painting from the volunteer group and just started covering different areas. It was open to all. And actually, Jason Washington's family had contacted me earlier that day to have his face painted on the wall. He is a black man who was killed, I believe it was 2018 or 2019 at PSU. And his family's been trying to receive justice ever since. And they all came down and painted the area below and came by for a while. And so it was just this really big event, and just started getting the community involved and started getting people involved. And at the time, there was also a very large poem, I believe it was a poem, written on the entire left side of the wall. And so I told everyone, you're not allowed to paint over the poem. It was done in chalk. I was like, leave it. It's beautiful. Don't paint over it. And so we left that day, and you know, with the whole background, and I think someone must have left chalk and came by with a bunch of chalk buckets, because I was by the day after and chalk had started appearing everywhere and across the street, and there's all sorts of amazing art that has started appearing. There's like two teenage twins. They painted Brianna's happy birthday across the street on Louis Vuitton. There was also a man named, who goes by the name of Skies, who painted a giant portrait on the left side of the Apple building. There's a lot more that's just kind of happened, and I think that having the background painted and having the chalk out, it just started opening it up to more and more people, and people were feeling more and more comfortable, like they weren't going to get any trouble for adding to it and leaving their mark and writing things. And now it's just, I mean, a week has gone by, and it's just covered, and it looks amazing.
Along the top edge of the black hoarding, there's, I don't know, a dozen maybe smaller faces. And who did them, and how did they get up that high?
I actually have been doing a lot of them, and then my friend Sagan, I asked her to join me last Sunday to help me out. But they are just more faces that needed to be on the wall, needed to be remembered.
My name is Joseph Gallivan. You're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week is Emma Berger. She's an illustrator and a mural artist. And we're here at the Apple Store at 4th and Yamhill, downtown Portland, looking at the mural that she began, and then it seems like everybody has just taken over. So Emma, just tell us a bit about using acrylic paint on this sort of black painted plywood.
For the most part, it went pretty well. The trick that I found is to use slightly cheaper paint, just because it spreads easier than the super nice stuff. But it actually, a lot of it comes down to the brushes. The paint can vary pretty easily, and especially on the plywood, you have to put a lot more paint than you normally might, because it'll catch in all sorts of places. But if you have the right brush, it will go a lot way, like a long way. If you have the wrong brush, it'll be very hard.
What kind of brush?
So we found there's a like a latex kind of chip brush that is the easiest to paint with. And it was actually what I started all the murals with. And over the course of them, it has completely been ruined, and I have to go find a new one. But they spread the easiest. We were using a lot of chip brushes, foam brushes.
What's a chip brush?
A chip brush is kind of the cheaper brush that you often see for sale at hardware stores. They're like about anywhere between 50 cents to a dollar. And they're kind of considered a throwaway brush. So they get they do the job, but they're not long lasting. They'll never clean well. It is more wasteful, but for COVID times, I wanted people to be able to take the brush with them and throw it away if they needed to, so we weren't all touching dirty brushes. They'll do
this
an okay job.
This is KBOO Portland.
Bienvenidos a un breve informativo en su estación comunitaria KBOO 90.7 FM. Esta es una sección especial en español en respuesta a